The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you so much for joining us on this, the Frank Sontag Show. We begin with our impact segment every hour, 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. And we begin today's hour with a few thoughts, a commentary, and your response, either by calling in. The call-in numbers are always the same, which are 888-528-2557. If you're new, listening for the first time, thank you. I hope you stick around. You may or may not like what you hear, but I guarantee you if you listen long enough, it will dawn on you that at the very least I am fair, and I believe in discussions and civil disagreements by which we can learn from each other. Because quite frankly, I'm tired of hearing how there's only one way to think and live, and if you don't agree with it, well, then you are shut down. An example would be cancel culture. So again, the numbers are 888-528-2557. I want to read an email to you that I got. When was this email? It was Tuesday. Well, I'll tell you, this week seems like it's gone on forever. Hard to believe it's only been 1 week, a little more than 1 week since we had the elections. By the way, let me just state clearly for those of you that may not know my positions or if you're new, there is no president-elect. Joe Biden is not president-elect Joe Biden. The news media does not have that power. The state legislators and the states have that power, and when they certify this election, if they deem Joe Biden as the next president, he will be the next president-elect. But until then, and regardless of the outcome, our president today is Donald J. Trump. If that upsets you, if you're like, oh, okay, I got his deal, I'm leaving. Why? Why? We have to agree on everything, and boy, the moment I get my feelings a little offended, I'm out. I can't stand there. I'm going to read a commentary in a little while. It's called Against Unity. You know, we hear rhetoric is nice. It really is. It's all well and good. And hear about rhetoric along the lines of unity and healing. And it sounds so good. But I'm amazed by, and again, this isn't partisanship. This is just logic. It's just basic, simple logic. We have two parties in the country, not so fond of each other, inconsistencies, contradictions on both sides, all that stuff. Yeah, that's true. But there are marked differences between the platforms of each political party. And when I hear things like, in terms of the current dialogue now and the mainstream media's right lead horse, pulling the train, that the election is settled, this guy is a racist, and blah, 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 blah. I have no interest in agreement, but the little bit of a sense I have inside, I'm thinking that's too easy. Mass amounts of people, historically speaking, have been enamored with charismatic speakers that lead them to the road of hell. So again, I'm more interested in walking the talk. Because talk is nice, but what will you do? For those of you that say you're Christian and you voted for Joe Biden, because you can't stand the current administration or there's bad on both sides, let me let you know. that we now know their early executive action, the list has been revealed. And one of the first things, if indeed they are certified as the next administration, that'd be Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, they are going to do everything they can to reverse all of the pro-life policies that the current administration has enacted over the last 4 years. So the HE double toothpicks with babies. And you're going to sit there and go, yeah, I'm Christian. I voted for Biden and Harris. And I'll stay calm, but you can give me the rhetoric. Well, what about the womb to the tomb? What about it? Let's start with the womb, and then we can talk about to the tomb. But it's even deeper than that. I have an email. I want to be very careful with this email. Now, I have for many years on this program, I've been very intentional about not speaking ill, not being extremely critical of the Western Church, and specifically those that stand in the pulpit. Because I have not done that. I've not experienced one day of what it is to be a pastor. I have some very close friends that have done it for years, and I can't imagine how they even make it through one day between trying to preach God's word to a world that's not interested, to a congregation that bickers amongst themselves because they don't agree with certain things, and then they point the finger at the pastor, and let's just criticize said pastor. So I get it. And I've been very intentional about not speaking critically of pastors. But as I begin this hour, I need to state something very clearly. There are pastors in the pulpit. You need to be held responsible and accountable for not speaking out before the elections. Here we are. How can one profess to love Jesus and then go, yeah, I support the overturning of just some policies that try to protect the unborn? Please somebody help me with that one. And again, we can get into all sorts of other social ills where one other party may be more in contempt than the one that you support. But again, we can't even speak out and protect the unborn. So let me read this email and I'll be careful because this person wants to remain anonymous and I'll dance around some of the things. Person introducing themselves. They say they go to a church. They mention the pastor. And they say, it breaks my heart to speak against this pastor. They've gone to this church a number of years. And husband and wife have gone there many times and love the church and love the pastor. The pastor speaks the gospel. And let's fast forward to Election Sunday, the Sunday before the elections. The emailer said, we support our church. We love our pastor. So many things he says rings true, like we follow Christ, not politics. And then, according to the emailer, and I wasn't there, I didn't hear the sermon, but I suspect this is accurate. The pastor said that he knew solid, godly Christians who were voting for Joe Biden and solid, godly Christians who were voting for Donald Trump. He then went on to say, we need to be spreading the news about God, not getting the right people in office. That our cultural shaping has little to do with who sits in the Supreme Court, votes in Congress, or resides in the White House. Now, let me be careful here. I know there are a lot of pastors that believe that. There are a lot of pastors that somehow, if we were to have a one-on-one conversation, And if they get defensive after what I'm about to say, they would be accurate in saying, Frank, who are you? You've not held a position of a pastoral ministry. You've not run a church. And I would say, you're right, Pastor. Thank you for all of the years that you have shepherded your flock. But you have neglected your flock, if this is your position, in an election year by saying somehow godly Christians vote for both of these men. Hear me out. And there are few and far between pastors. I'm not going to name them. This isn't a popularity contest. You should know who they are. They've been in the pulpits. They've been speaking out. They've been educating their congregation. They've been having voter registration right outside their church. If we honestly don't understand the biblical implications of voting for policies, and if one can absolutely believe that our cultural shaping has little to do with the Supreme Court or who resides in the White House, and we're just going to go, God's in control. That's all we need to focus on. God's in control. Whoever's president, we pray for them, and we just move through. That position in this day and age in America, as it has been, will quickly accelerate the church into complete irrelevancy. Not only that, the target that's on our backs right now will be amplified that much more. Because our position is a position of weakness. We don't speak out against evil. Please hear me. Abortion is evil. You can call me. We can have a conversation. You can vehemently disagree with me. I'll hear you out. In fact, for the sake of being honest and have integrity, for the overwhelming majority of my adult life, I was in the complete opposite camp of what I'm talking about right now. For 54 years of my life, I was not a follower of Jesus. For the majority of those adult years, I lived for myself, in sin, in the flesh, rebelling against God, minimizing this particular topic to a woman's right to choose. I've said this before on the program. People would call my talk show. A man would call my talk show, and I'd go, hey, Bob. Hey, man, thanks for the call, but this is part of the problem. Two men talking about abortion where it doesn't impact either one of us. And Bob, I don't know about you, but I've never been given the God-given ability to give birth. This is a woman's issue. I've asked for forgiveness. God, forgive me and anybody else for that position. Because here's many of the truths by which that is an absolute lie from hell. Studies say more than 80% of couples that walk into pregnancy clinics, whether they are married or not, and they're thinking about maybe aborting their baby, if the man would speak and say, I really want to try to keep this baby, in 80% of the cases, that baby would not be aborted. And there's a lot of other ways in which we can address this issue. But here's my heart. Again, what happened to me? God began to convict me. I honestly don't know how long I'll be in this position of being the host of this radio program. I've been here a number of years, and I always think every day, Lord, just use me for your glory. And if this is my last day, or if I'm here till I'm 95, goodness gracious, my ratings will be through the roof, won't they? Heck, we live in a country. You're 95 and dead, and you still vote. But that's another story for another time. But I began to get convicted in the area of the unwillingness in my heart to even possibly acknowledge that we're talking about a life here. a baby. You know, one of the arguments we used to hear, well, when does life begin? With conception, when the baby can live on its own, and we get in all that stuff, and Roe v. Wade aside. Back when I had these discussions in the 80s and 90s and around 2000, we were not having legislation in our country that affirmed abortion to the third trimester, even in the case of abortions gone bad, where the baby survives. And in the case of New York, find out for yourself what they did earlier this year, passing legislation and cheering about it. And say what you will about the current president and all the hate you project on him, and oh yeah, we're gonna be united under this new party, and oh, it's so refreshing, and oh, finally. Yeah, okay. No man, no woman, no human being can bring anything. Above all, Jesus is the only answer. Bible talks about don't put your faith and trust in man. You are gonna be disappointed. But if you don't have enough logic and at least enough love in your heart to realize, regardless of your emotions toward the current president, if you look at what he has done for this particular issue in the case of life and abortion and pro-life, I honestly don't know what to tell you. But this new administration, possibly new administration, they're falling all over themselves. They're sending out signals now of what they're going to do. They're going to overturn all the pro-life laws that this president stood for and enacted. And you as a Christian, you're going to go, yeah, there you go. Not much difference between the two. Or a little bad on both sides. Oh, a little bad on my side, but at least this guy doesn't hate and doesn't divide and is not a racist. And all of the things you are being fed a bunch of lies, and you don't even want to see it. It doesn't take much. If you're a follower of Christ, if you truly are, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. Lord knows I'm a sinner every day. I repent many times a day. I'm a jacked up man that loves the Lord. When I get out of my own way, he leads me by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's undeniable. But sadly, a good chunk of my life is my will and not his will. Please hear me out here. But if you're one, even in positions of being in the pastoral role in churches or an elder, or in the position of ministry, and you voted for this administration, if indeed the states certify this Biden-Harris ticket, and one of the first things they're going to do is overturn any of the pro-life laws, God help you. And you can rationalize and justify it all you want. And here's the last bit of truth. We have killed, slaughtered millions of babies, and it's not just the non-believers, and it's not just the Democrats. Please hear me out. But isn't there a time in our lives where we go, it's time to take a stand? It's time to say enough is enough? It's time to stop going with the whims of culture? It's time to ask for forgiveness and drop your own pride and realize that maybe, just possibly, your adamant position may not be the truth. I got this email, Frank, or Mr. Sontag. I used to enjoy listening to you. You and I have many things in common. Our age, we came to Christianity late in our life. I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton in 2016. Because I was convinced by the things you said about her position as a Democrat. But Donald Trump lost this election. He claims that votes were compromised to favor President-elect Joe Biden. But there's no evidence to support that. Poll watchers, state after state, disagree with him. If he has any proof, he should show it and get all this behind us and the world. I can't believe you were subtly suggesting on a recent program that people should protest the results of the election. On what basis? To me, it seems that you're fomenting and encouraging chaos on a spurious foundation. I hate to see you lose your listeners, your ratings, consequently forced off the air. But let's keep praying that the will of God comes first in all that we do. Let's keep praying for peace in this country and for President-elect Joe Biden. Shalom. Huh. Yeah. Let's keep praying for God just to somehow sit on his throne and watch us slaughter more of his own and justify it as followers of Christ. We had some calls. I look at the board. It's all clear. I guess I scared everybody away. 888-528-2557. By the way, in terms of the second email I read, I'm not subtly encouraging any Christian to protest. I am blatantly saying it's time. It's time. No more. Enough. Enough. Supposedly 70 million people voted for Donald Trump. Safe to say, probably a few of those folks are followers of Christ. What if millions of us took to the street and started praying? I'm not just saying stay at home and pray. I praise God for all the intercessors and the warriors that are praying at home. May we form many prayer armies right now, that evil will be overcome with good, whatever it is. In all truth, we need to stand for this country and fair elections. Whoever won fairly, they are to be the next president-elect. If it's Joe Biden and it was fair, we pray for him. But if there was wrongdoing, may it be investigated. And unfortunately, we don't have like this neutral investigative body that looks into this kind of stuff. So we kind of see the writing on the wall, but God's the God of possibilities. But I mean this with everything I say. One of the things I despised before I became a follower of Christ is the weakness from the few said Christians I was exposed to. They were just kind of soft and everything is good and God's in control. I just look at Jesus, man. He loved the downtrodden and the forgotten and the misfits, but he didn't tolerate some stuff. And we have pastors preaching from the pulpit. Hey, good people vote for Joe Biden. Good people vote for Donald Trump. Are you kidding me? I praise God for the few pastors that have stood up and truly shepherded their flock. Because guess what? There are immense differences between both parties. And if we're to look to the Bible, biblically speaking, it's as simple as night and day. 888-528-2557. I think we have a full board. We've had some phone glitches this week, but we got many people on hold. We'll take more of your calls in a moment. And I do want to read a commentary. Maybe we'll take a few calls, and then I'll get into this particular commentary that is about healing. Really? Well, my brother Wilbur just talked in my headset. Don't be in a hurry, Frank. You got a sponsor when you go to break. Okay, I'll do that. 888-528-2557. A commentary on healing, your phone calls, and much more as we continue next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. The song selection you're listening to is that of a band called Skillet. Their lead singer is John Cooper. John will be on the program 2 weeks from tomorrow. He has a brand new book out entitled Awake and Alive to Truth, Finding Truth in a Relativistic World. And John will be my guest 2 weeks from tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that one. If you missed the impact segment, normally I do a reset and kind of tell you what I talked about, but not going to do that right now because we've got a full board, lot to do. I'll maybe reset in a little while. If you just tuned in, Just listen. You'll get an idea of what's going on and what we talked about and what we're about to get into as well. Mark in Long Beach. Mark, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Frank, thank you. Thanks for taking my call. God bless. I just want to start off real quick. I don't know if you know who Abramovich is. Marina Abramovich, she's an artist, but she's a Satanist. And when asked what she thought about Trump, she didn't refer to him as a pig or, a fairy god believing. No, she referred to him and gave him kudos as being a wizard, waking up the people. And that speaks volume, Frank. In the end, God wins, and that's what's important. But what I did want to quickly brush up on real quick was Biden. And even though he's on the Democratic ticket and, they're not pro-life, what they say and do are two different things. This is not to cast bad light on him and his family, but we know that Hunter Thompson, his son, Trump brought him up in the debates. People look into who he received money from, but definitely we know that he had an illegitimate child with a prostitute. He could have easily had an abortion, but he chose not to. So whether Biden's party is for pro-life or not, he did raise his household, his children, with pro-life values.
I'm lost. You mentioned a Satanist telling President Trump's a wizard, and then you're talking about God's in control. Then you bring up Hunter Biden, not Hunter Thompson, and somehow
right.
Joe Biden, somehow there was a child that was not aborted. So you're saying the Democrat Party and what I have right in front of me and the early executive actions that will be taken if indeed they become president and vice president, you're saying this is not their position, this is not their platform.
Yeah, definitely, Frank. That's it in a nutshell.
Okay, well, you're saying this is not their position. Okay. They say they're going to reverse all of President Trump's pro-life policies when they take place, when they take office in January of next year. I don't know what else to say. Cindy in Huntington Beach. Cindy, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. Good to talk to you again. I was all wrapped up in this, at where you're at. Where I think you're at, where you're coming from, it seems like every day. And I agree with everything you say. I totally cannot understand how any born-again Christian can, in good conscience, vote for any Democrat because of their platform on abortion. But I feel like they will have to face God with that decision and explain why they did. And that's between them and God. I'm glad I don't have to explain that to God. My husband is still way involved with, we did switch from Fox News to Newsmax, except for Tucker Carlson. We still admire Tucker immensely. I pray for him every day and his safety. And I've just kind of let it, we're learning contentment in our women's Bible study at church, and we're in 1st and 2nd Timothy, and it's just, I'm just finding that for me, it's so much better for me to just keep everything in prayer, support financially when and if I can, those that are trying to bring all the truth to light. And even though I believe that Trump is the best president and the best way to go for this nation, I trust my Father in heaven. And I know he's in control, and I know I've heard you say that. But I just don't think it's worth me if everything changes daily. And it's just not worth, it's even kind of making me anxious talking to you about it. It's kind of raising my blood pressure. And it's just not worth it. I choose joy and I choose peace and I choose to be content with whatever happens. And I also want to be grateful for each and every day, because even though we think 2020 has been bad and it's rough right now, I think we are living in good times compared to what can possibly happen. And so instead of fretting and worrying and being anxious about all the things that I think would be best, I'm going to just trust my Father and pray often that the right people, the people that are in positions to do things and bring the truth out, I'm going to pray for them. And other than that, on my TV, I'm watching the Food Network.
Well, and let me respond. Okay, don't go yet. I loved everything you said. With one small follow-up. Why does it have to be an either or? Now I'm not for getting people all upset and getting frustrated. I think we do tend to not understand how blessed we are, and I think we've got so much in this country to be grateful for, and we're blessed, et cetera, et cetera. But freedom comes at a cost. I don't know if you've studied any history, and I'm not here drawing direct correlations. But there are some things going on right now that are kind of unprecedented. And I would just encourage you to stay close in prayer for sure. In fact, I'm going to say thank you. I'm not going to engage anymore. I don't want to force anything upon you. But I do want to say this. Freedom comes at a cost. And when you say you trust those in positions of power to make the right decisions, if we don't understand the power that the church has, and that part of the situation we're in is because the church hasn't been active, then that's on us. I appreciate your call greatly. Thank you, Cindy. Flacco in Santa Ana. Flacco, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. I have a few things I wanted to get off my chest. First of all, the email that you read in that impact part was truly a deceived man who emailed you. How can Democrats be Christians? All that Biden represents is anti-Christian. Abortions, transgender, pro-LGBT, and little children at young age being able to contemplate what kind of gender they want to be with hormone shots. What more do I need to say? God will expose the corruption and lies and frauds that are executed by the Democrats. And Frank, you won't lose listeners because we are all of one heart of those who truly know Jesus and his word. And, you know, there's a lot of uninformed callers like that one guy before this last lady. He didn't even know Hunter's last name. That's how confused he was. Last thing I have to say is I was neither Democrat or a Republican, but I voted for Trump because he communicates straight up like a homeboy. And that's really all I have to say, Frank. And you keep going, because that's what we're fighting for, is freedom. And freedom does come with a cost. This lady that just called, hey, we're going the direction we're going to try to maintain the freedom. Because if we lose it, we're going to all have to wear a mask. We're going to be told what days we can go to the store or what days we go to the gas station. We won't have any freedom. And that's Governor, what's that guy's name, Newsom, trying to tell people how many people they could have at Thanksgiving. It's way out there.
Well, and Flacco, I always appreciate when you call. Thank you for it. See, I may sound like I'm frustrated and I'm angry and Frank's on a rant. No. I am angry, but I'm not on a rant. This is something I think if we've got the power of Jesus Christ in us by the power of the Holy Spirit, do you really think let me just break it down to the very simple truth. Sharing the gospel to a non-believing world. Let's stay there for 2 minutes. If you truly, by the Great Commission, lived your life sharing the gospel to a non-believing world, how do you think that would go? Think about it. And I mean the gospel, not just the nice, as Pastor Vody Bachum says, the sissified Jesus that loves everybody and is all good and God is love, and we're all God's children. We're all going to heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the gospel, the true gospel, that Jesus hung on a cross for all of us. If we were to just do that, to the non-believing world, do you think everybody would go, oh, yeah, I'm in. You're fantastic. Oh, I want to become a Christian. But we don't even do that. We don't. We don't share the gospel. We don't even attempt to lead people to Christ. And again, getting back to my biggest contention here, when you have a pastor that's there to shepherd a flock, small or large, that somehow hides behind and maybe good intention. This may just be ignorance. I know a lot of pastors, wonderful. They know the word. They've done fantastic jobs leading the congregation. But when it comes to this issue of the country and constitutionalism and freedom, it's like they don't know. Maybe because they've never studied, they've never been taught. But look how the enemy twists that. I know good Christians that will vote for Joe Biden. I know good Christians that will vote for Donald Trump. So, have at it. And so possibly an administration that now stands clearly on a platform that is anti-life. They're saying now part of the new, if they are, they're already saying they're president and vice president. And again, that's we'll get into that maybe later, but they're going to overturn all the pro-life laws and all the other things that are happening. And we're going to go, good people, vote for Biden, good Christians, vote for Trump. Here's the problem. We're the problem. We're not good. We're not good. Donald Trump is not the answer. Joe Biden certainly isn't the answer. The Republicans aren't the answer. The Democrats aren't the answer. But that being said, we live in a country. People have died for the rights and the freedoms we have in this country. And most people have never even read a constitution. I carry a constitution around with me everywhere I go. Now, if we're going to toss out the Constitution and say we no longer believe in the United States of America, yeah, let's try that. Let's pull statues down like we saw this summer. Like, really? I know good Christians that support pulling down of statues and good Christians that don't support pulling down of statues. Man, where are the leaders? Where are the men and women of God that stand up and may upset the masses? You know, Billy Graham once said the Bible is offensive. It causes people to choose. But if we don't say you have to make a choice versus, hey, you've got a choice here and a choice here, it's all you. That there is one right choice, if you will. 888-528-2557, is this a time to heal? We'll talk about that and take more of your calls next here on the Frank Sontag Show. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Thank you for joining us. We're talking about the recent elections. We're talking about what it means to be a follower of Christ. We're talking about our country and freedoms that many of us take for granted. We're going to go back to the phones in a moment. We had a caller that talked about, from her perspective, it's upsetting, and she is careful to not get too out of balance, and I'm paraphrasing, and that she trusted that when it comes to the political process, those in positions of power and authority will take care of things, but let's not get too upset. And I responded by saying freedom comes with a price. Now, I get the audio clip I'm going to play is not from a pastor, although some of the pastors would talk like this anyway, and I praise God for them. But Tucker Carlson had a 40-second slight commentary on freedoms in this country. Please listen to this.
If we care about our democracy, we must demand clean and honest voting, regardless of the outcome, no matter who wins or who loses. The system is what we must protect. Sending ballots to entire unverified voter lists unsolicited gets you dead people voting. And what does that do? It puts us where we are now, cynical, distrustful, withdrawn. If you want to run a democracy, you need one thing above all, social trust. If you want people to have social trust, if you want them to believe in the system, it's not enough to yell at them on television and tell them that they must believe. You have to create a system that is worth believing in.
Tucker Carlson last night from his program. Let's take some calls. John in Huntington Beach. John, you're on the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. I'm trying to get a focus point as to what your definition is of an actual Christian person. I've heard some of your callers talking about people voting for Joe Biden are not Christian people. I think a couple of days ago you said that Joe Biden himself was not a Christian person. So I guess it's that. What's the reference? And how many, it looks like about 250 million Americans cast a vote for one or the other of the presidential candidates. What percentage of those people do you believe are actually Christians?
250 million people voted? Where did you get that statistic?
Am I wrong about that statistic? I'm adding up 175 million and 170 million. That comes out to right around 250 million.
Well, that would be 350 million. Where'd you get 170 million and 175 million?
Okay, if I'm wrong on the numbers there, then I apologize.
I'm just asking. If we want accuracy, I'm just asking, where do you get those numbers?
I was listening to your show, and I was going off memory, but I could be wrong. Maybe
okay.
You've got some better information than I had. But at any rate, it's a lot of people voted for one or the other presidential candidate.
Very true.
Regardless of how many exact people that is. What is your focus? What is a Christian person? What's your definition of that? Because it seems by your show that it's very vague. Sometimes it depends on who you voted for in an election.
I can't account for anyone that identifies as a Christian. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and I believe the Bible is God's word. The Bible is clear.
And if somebody said that exact same sentence and then voted for Joe Biden, would that discount them from being a Christian person?
Well, it wouldn't discount them. It would be one of a number of things, one of which is they may not be biblically literate. The Bible's clear on the issue.
Catholics are Christian people.
What's that?
Do you think that Catholics are Christian people, that the Catholic Church is a Christian church? Do you think that that's a yes or a no? What's your opinion on that?
It's a yes or a no.
Catholic.
Do I think... Look, if you want an answer, if you want to argue, we can do that too. If you want a sincere answer, I'll try to answer. I think doctrinally, there are people that follow Catholicism that can indeed, yes, be followers of Jesus Christ, and they're saved. I personally have some issues with the Catholic faith, but I will tell you one thing. Above all, where they absolutely get it right, they always stand for life. They always stand against abortion, and I praise God for every Catholic man and woman that has that position. That is a Christian position for sure. So you can say, so a Christian can be for abortion? You tell me. You tell me. If you identify as a Christian and you say that you I'm saying that you support abortion, please help me understand that.
Okay, I think it's a really good point. I have some agreement with you on this. But if you are totally opposed to abortion, that does not make you a Christian person. I'm not a Christian person, yet I'm totally opposed to abortion. And you're wrong about this. Abortion is not a religious or a Christian issue. It's a human rights issue.
According to you.
It's been hijacked by Christian religious fanatics.
Oh, I see.
That's what's going on here.
So it can't be a human rights issue and also a biblical issue as well, that both can't be true. It's either one or the other.
Well, okay, the Bible, Adam wasn't alive until he took his first breath. So the Bible's issue on it is that you're not a human being until you actually take your first breath. And I can quote a couple other scriptures about
Hold on. We're running up against a break here. Would you identify yourself as a Christian?
I identify myself as an atheist.
Okay, and we're going to argue about the Bible. No, we're not. Thank you for the call. Please, next time, just be honest and say, and I'm not accusing you of being dishonest, but next time say, Frank, I'm an atheist, and I want to help understand some things. That would help the discussion or the debate for me. And I appreciate it, and call again. But if you're confused about what it means to be a Christian and you're an atheist, that's a conversation that I relish to have again. This is the Frank Sontag Show.